Fantasy Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan right now. Time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. And I need you to go ahead and get our sponsors together real quick, Kevin, because coming to us now.
Oh, yeah. On the Wild Fork Foods hot seat, wildforkfoods.com. Elite game day grilling favorites. Who do we got?
We got Zach Wolchuk from the G Bag Nation, who'll be up here in about an hour joining us. Actually, Zach, you do not have to participate in crosstalk since you are taking part in the C Block now.
Yes, thank you so much.
See, obviously that's his favorite thing of the day right there. He's like, finally, I don't have to participate in that crosstalk with K&C.
Gosh, I barely did participate anyway, according to Kevin.
Hey, that was months ago. Uh-huh. We addressed it.
People don't forget.
I addressed it with myself as well.
Zach, the I was listening yesterday to the beginning of the show in a couple different areas, and I wanted you to help me out. Am I incorrect in saying that Sam Williams has not really lived up to what Broadus's expectation were? I feel like yesterday when he was talking about him, he was kind of like, look, he had this whole season to get ready for this offseason, and he thought there should be a little bit more.
No, you're right. And yesterday, I really thought Tyler Guyton handled Sam Williams pretty much every single rep. And they moved him around a little bit. There were sometimes they had him and Ezeraku rushing on the same side. Maybe there's a stunt. But if it was Tyler Booker that had to go up against Sam Williams, I think Book handled him well. Right now, he looks like a guy that, to me, is used to winning with his athleticism and his first step quickness. And now I don't know if it's, hey, he's getting trust back in that knee, or maybe there is some of that burst. I mean, we've seen some clips of him before we got out here, and you guys were here last week, where he is flying and chasing a play down on a run down the field. So, like, he still has that freak athleticism, but I think now he needs to kind of add more of the hand fighting, maybe add some more moves to the tool belt. I mean, hell, it's kind of weird to say, but, like, that's one of the strengths for Donovan Ezeraku. He's got a lot of different ways that he can beat you. So maybe, you know, they can get together and work on some stuff. But I will say, I certainly have not been overwhelmed in a positive way, at least early on in camp. I'm hoping that it's just, hey, you're slowly coming back from a major knee injury. And maybe by the time we're ready to take on the Eagles week one, we'll get that version of Sam Williams that we did expect to see.
Since you were talking about Tyler Guyton, can you walk us through your wave of emotions with the news that wasn't really the news that almost was the news?
I mean, I feel like it was like a ball sack of all ball sacking, guys. Like, what the hell happened yesterday? It was just like an hour of, whoa, highs, lows, tears, jubilation, celebration. Shout out to Brian. He had this thing cornered right after we come back from break in the final hour, and Ian Rappaport puts out there. Now, in Ian's defense, he did say, the fear is that it's an ACL, but immediately you're thinking, okay, if that's out there, they think that that's what it is, right? And the MRI is just to confirm that. And I just really felt for the player, because certainly I think that there's maybe some people on the station and a lot of Cowboy fans out there, we see the fan text that kind of gave up on him. And, oh, well, he's a bust already. And I just talked about this on Love of the Star, which we'll be posting on Odyssey a little bit later, but I'll take responsibility. Like, I don't think we did a good enough job describing Tyler Guyton's profile coming out of the draft, where he wasn't like Tyler Booker is this year, where he started all 3-4 years in college, got a ton of playing time, and is basically ready to plug and play. This was a dude who started 1 year at OU, and he was a project type of player. There was a lot of talent there that you could see becoming a legit starting left tackle, but I think that the growing pains that he went through, like, shouldn't have been a surprise. And I'll raise my hand and say we probably should have done a better job last year, maybe minimizing expectation for him. But I saw a totally different player yesterday with the pads on. I mean, the pass sets for him, the marrying of the hands and the feet, the bend, like everything. He was a much more aggressive tackle than a guy that was kind of just passive, like waiting for somebody to come to him. Catching is a phrase that Brian will use for that a lot. So I was really excited about him taking that next next step. And, you know, unfortunately now this is still a setback. I mean, he's now losing valuable time here in training camp, but it is an absolute blessing going from, oh my gosh, what are they going to do at left tackle, to now, hey, he could still be starting week one.
I will say this. I listened a lot when he was drafted, and I felt like we did the same thing. We tried to tell people. I think we kind of got caught up in the idea that the rest of this offensive line's pretty good, and they're going to be able to carry the weight as these young pups come along, and that didn't quite happen. I thought we did a pretty good job of it, but I understand where you're coming from there, Zach. We were trying to tell people. It just didn't. We kind of got excited about what this team could do for sure. And what I saw while I was out there, and we only got to see a few days of him, but what I saw was a guy that wasn't reaching anymore, but using his length with purpose. And that was last year, so many times those holding calls and things like that were because he was a little lazy with the footwork and reaching out. And it didn't look like early on what we've seen was the case. So that was it was tough to hear that yesterday, knowing that this could. 4 to 6 weeks could put him behind again,
right?
Much like it did last year. Zach, your top three, it sounds like you're really high on Guyton. Your top three from practice so far.
Yeah, yesterday I thought really both tackles had a pretty good day, Guyton and Steele. Malik Hooker was, I thought, the best player defensively yesterday. I thought he was really good in coverage and even came up, had an excellent play down the alley, smacking a back against the run. And then, I mean, Donovan has a rock, you guys.
Oh, my gosh. Let's talk about it, Zach.
Holy crap.
Hey, I mean, listen, right now Kevin is as high on Ezeraku as he is on Overshown. So,
he should be.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
You should be.
Thank you. This
was a guy that I really was surprised didn't go in the first round. I mean, heck, I think Nick Harris might have had him graded higher than anybody else on the draft show. So he was throwing a Cooper Beebe-esque party when he ended up going ahead and making that pick in the second round. But, like, that's a steal. I mean, the guy was super productive at Boston College. Maybe you could say a little bit undersized. But, I mean, the first step quickness, that's one thing getting to do the draft show now for 3 years. When you are fast off the ball and you're able to time that and the athleticism, like guys like Chop Robinson at Penn State, Keon White, who is from Georgia Tech that's now with New England, like those guys have translated and been really, really good. Donovan Ezeraku was one of those guys. So he's going to be an absolute problem. And even not having Mike out here, like, you love that, but the pass rush has still been getting after it. And the ability for Ezeraku, the stunts, and they're doing a lot of stunts. I loved what Eberflus was doing yesterday, you know, bringing over some of Mike Zimmer with that, you know, double A-gap blitz, you know, just in the middle of that offensive line. They did some corner blitzes yesterday, but Ezeraku's awesome. And Kyer Elam, as advertised, man, that dude was sticky as hell yesterday in coverage. So
Can I go back to the pass rush for just a second before we go any further? What have been your thoughts, or what are your general thoughts, I guess, as well, about Dante Fowler? Because this is somebody that we have seen produce at the NFL level, and it sounds like he's looked better with the run coverage as well, which I know has not always been his strong suit.
Definitely was something that I know Brian pointed out when the Cowboys were playing Washington last year, was he looked like a much better player against the run. So that was an issue here, was the over pursuit. You get upfield and now, you know, that gap is not filled. So teams are able to pop off big runs. And I think that's going to be for a defensive line that is going to be playing a little undersized. Now they got some length with guys like Peyton Turner and Perrion Winfrey, whom they signed that, you know, well out of Oklahoma there, Corey, but yeah, I mean, they don't have, like, that big trash can full of dirt dude in the middle, right, that you had with a guy like Jonathan Hankins. So I do think Fowler's improvement in that area is going to be critical for this team to just not get hurt along the edges. I think that's an underrated thing of Kyer Elam's game, too, because we know Diggs was not always a guy that's really willing to come up and run support. So teams, you know, when it comes to, like, the toss game, let's go pick on the corner out there. Kyer Elam's a super physical corner that is not shy about coming up and hitting somebody in the run game.
There was a couple times yesterday where y'all were, I think Broadus said, hey, watch this, see if we can get Mingo downfield. And then I hear, oh, Turpin's open. You got this little play here. Can you kind of tell me how Turpin's day went? Because I keep seeing his name pop up, and they're finding him places in space so he can use his speed.
Moving him around all over the place, whether it's in the backfield, in the slot, out wide. He did make a nice catch. And one of my knocks on Turpin is I think the further away from the line of scrimmage that he gets, the less effective he is, in my opinion.
Agree.
So I kind of want to keep it within like the short to intermediate passing game, but he did a really nice job yesterday adjusting back to a ball from Dak along the sidelines. That was probably like a 25-yard play down the field, but it's the middle of the field, guys. The middle of the field is just wide open, and that's probably an impact of having Pickens and CD. And so when they're running these crossing patterns, you know, Turpin is finding himself a ton of room. They're doing a lot of let's swing the ball, kind of an extension of the running game with these short passes. Let's throw it out to him and just allow him to use his speed to pick up an easy 5 to 10 yards. So I'm really buying in a lot of the stuff that, you know, we've seen has been lip service over the last few years.
Yes,
with the
sure.
offensive schematic changes. It seems like Shoddy running the football, the condensed formations, the pre-snap motion, and doing it with a purpose to try and find out what's a plus matchup for you. But the use of Kevontae Turpin, and they should do it because they paid him now, mm-hmm. they definitely are finding multiple ways to get him the football.
That's what you do, Kevin. Once you pay them, then you use them. All right?
No!
That's what I'm hearing.
Madness!
Here. We've paid him now, so now we have to use him.
Who else are you going to get paid while we're out there? Does it go Smith first, Bland? Who else are you getting money for out there?
I think Smith and Bland both get done. And yesterday,
really?
I think Smith gets done first. I mean, Bobby had the Hawkeyes out where it's like, oh, there's Tyler Smith's agent talking with Steven and Jerry over there and Will McClay. So there might be some traction. I wonder if what happened yesterday, does that change the negotiations at all? If there ever was a hesitation of, ooh, hey, if you're going to play my guy at left tackle, did you
right.
see what Rashawn Slater just got
right.
with
mm-hmm.
the Chargers? Like that might, we might need a boost this up a little bit. We're not doing 20 to 22 million a year where the guards are getting. We might need to do 25. I don't know. But Bland yesterday, I thought that was really optimistic. It doesn't sound like Pickens from the interview we did with him yesterday is going to get done preseason. I think that's going to be, we'll see how the season goes. But nothing with Micah, and we're hoping to get Steven on the show today, maybe around 2:20. That can float. It's possible that time changes, but as of right now, we're hoping to get Steven on, so maybe we can talk some more. I know he loves talking about the contracts.
Yeah, he does.
And on the George Pickens front, that feels like that makes all the sense in the world for both sides to wait and see how the season goes, both in terms of Pickens wanting to be viewed as a number one and the Cowboys wanting to view like this is a long-term fit and all of that, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And he won me over, boys. I mean, I was a little bit hesitant when the Cowboys made this move based on the track record of Pittsburgh and moving on from wide receivers. Typically, they've been right to do that. George Pickens just might have been, it was not the right situation for him. And he, to me, there's something about players, Jake Ferguson gets this too, wearing the star and representing the Cowboys and what this means, it's different. And you need the right type of people and personalities that embrace that and want to be great and have those Super Bowl expectations. And listening to George, man, I don't know how any Cowboy fan did not just fall in love with GP3 yesterday and everything he had to say. And his relationship with CD, man, maybe that's what it takes. Maybe it takes like having an accountability buddy. But those two together have such a special and fun, infectious relationship.
Man, a smart job yesterday starting off with the George chant to get him rolling into the conversation. That really props up his ego a little bit. Very
yeah.
good work on you fellas' part. And you know what? Kevin's leaving me here in a couple days, so I might reach back out to you, Woolchuck. See if you got any,
I like having
any
him
other
on
experiences.
Too.
Where can people follow you on the social medias?
At Zach Woolchuck, of course, check out Love of the Star. And then, you know, there's the show, the G-Bag Nation, that follows the best midday show in the world, the KNC Masterpiece. So
you.
I'd appreciate it if you hung around and gave us a chance as well.
My concern when listening to radio shows,
though,
is that they're over too soon. How long is this program that you do? Is there enough time for me to really sit down and enjoy it?
Yeah, I mean, we got a full 5 for you. So
fantastic.
You know, absolutely. There is plenty of time for you to soak in all the G-bags.
Later, okay. buddy. Love you.
Love you more.
There you go, Zach Woolchuck. That's a good dude right there, man.
Yeah.
Helping out, keeping eyeballs on the football field for us.
Absolutely, man. Heck of a team we got out there, from the breakdowns to the contractual eyeballs out there.
I guarantee you,
you
won't find a better team out there right now. A better radio team covering
your face,
this
Cowboys.
Team. No, not they're not a radio team,
okay.
Kevin.
I gotcha.
We're their radio team. Is
yeah.
what I'm saying.
Hey, off to a great start. We're actually there.
Yep.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's do a little NFL overreaction or reality right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Time for some NFL overreaction or reality. And I like to start these with Cowboys questions. NFL overreaction or reality. And I will tell you, this is definitely my opinion. First couple days of padded practices now have you terrified about the Cowboys' offensive line depth?
Reality, but I was already there.
Oh, before all of this.
Yeah,
oh,
and listen, I know how they feel about Awesome Richards. Does it not feel like every time we've talked to Mickey since last year, he's brought that name up?
Yeah.
And I even like all year last year, it felt like that name kept popping up. But the reality is TJ Bass has played some.
Yep.
So you do have a backup guard there. Brock Hoffman is a serviceable backup guard center option.
Well, what happened with that? Because we're a year removed from, it's a battle. This guy's, he's got it.
Cooper BB won.
No, I know. Has that slotted Hoffman for good as just serviceable?
Yep.
Okay.
That is where he stands for this team right now. And we thought attitude was the big thing, but what question do we keep asking? Dude, has not played much.
Yeah.
And then Cooper Beebe stepped in and he did not get to play much.
Right.
So we can't change our minds about it. But then those tackle positions, I think I'm more concerned about the tackle depth than I am the guard depth right now, obviously, because we're healthy in the front three. Tyler, Cooper, and Tyler. We're healthy there right now, so I feel confident there. It's the tackle depth that I have concerns about because tackles are hard to find.
Sure.
Like, that's just a reality is that tackles and closers are the hardest things to find in sports.
Alec, overreaction or reality, you are terrified of the Cowboys' depth at offensive line after the first couple days of padded practices.
Reality, and I think all it did was make me realize that I was just like Corey in that sense, that I already was, but I didn't know it. Like, I wasn't actively thinking about it going into camp, like, man, they are thin. They are really young at this point. I just kind of realized that yesterday whenever I was able to kind of let that breath go after I saw 4 to 6 weeks instead of, the original timeline. Yeah. I was like, okay, we might be a little worse off than I expected. Not to say that it's bad, but it's kind of like how Chris Young always talks about starting pitching. I feel like you can never have too many offensive linemen that you're like, I've heard that name before.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not you drafted them, you've just said, yeah, I've heard of that name before. He's played in this league. He's started games. Could be, quality depth. It could be just depth that has experience. I need some of that.
Now, I will allow a follow-up question if you need it for this next one.
Oh, no.
NFL overreaction or reality, the Lions missed their best shot to win a Super Bowl unless the Metallica principle holds true.
Okay, first off, reality. Secondly, I don't know what the Metallica principle is. So I think I think you're right with that.
Okay. In
that was they've had two chances.
Yes.
Been
really
so close.
Good chances.
And when you get to that point, Kevin, I do think there is a mental hurdle you have to be able to clear that allows you to physically clear hurdles too. And I think you can see that with the Niners. They mentally were like, what is it going to take to beat Mahomes?
Yeah.
And physically, we can't keep this up forever. So,
man,
there you go.
You know you're an all-time great already when you can say that about Mahomes for the Niners or the Ravens or the Bills. If you already have all of those people, then you know that you're great. The Metallica principle was brought to us by, this principle already existed, but Dan Campbell illuminated it for us. He was asked about the loss of both of his coordinators. And of course, he answered that question by talking about Metallica. Mm. Now, if you go back early in Metallica, they lost their bassist, Cliff Burton, who died in an accident just as the band was like really starting to make it big. So Dan Campbell and Tom Pelissero, who he was talking to, noted that on the first Metallica album after Burton's death, the bass was mixed pretty low to deal with his absence, allowing the rest of the band to carry things a bit more clearly. So the idea being, even without the coordinators, that will give other people a chance to shine, much like it did with Metallica.
And then
hence,
you wouldn't,
the Metallica principle.
So you're saying you wouldn't get Robert Trujillo if that hadn't happened. Okay, I see what you're going with there.
Dan Campbell, not me.
Yeah.
I wish I invented that.
All right.
Does that change your opinion, or are you sticking with reality?
Not really.
Okay.
I'm glad he brought that to the table.
Alec, does the Metallica principle change your opinion about whether or not the Lions missed their best shot to win the Super Bowl? That's pretty compelling,
it's
right?
It's really compelling, because I think about that outside of sports too. It feels like that's just like the job cycle nature in general. I'm going to say it doesn't in this case. I feel like because I said that, I'm going to be totally wrong and they're going to be like amazing this year and make a conference championship.
Right.
I'm going to be sitting there right before kickoff of the NFC championship game and be like, huh, Metallica, huh? Yep.
And they're going to play Enter Sandman and you're going to know like, oh, I'm
just
wrong.
Just rub it in my
one.
Face and then I'm going to see a phone call ringing and it's going to be Kevin Hagel and I'm going to be like, yeah, boom, that was deserved.
I might still be living in Germany then. All right.
What?
Corey, I know you care.
Living in Germany.
You never know. I have seen many a baseball movie where a coach finds this ragtag group of kids and they can't be apart and they become part of one another's lives. I can't rule out that that's what's going to happen.
I can't either, I guess now.
There you go.
First, I could.
All right, now you can't. I know you care about this story, and I'm fascinated your answer on this.
Very sad.
NFL, I'll give you a heads up. I'd be like, Corey, this is a hardball, bad news bear situation.
I think I found my real team.
Exactly. NFL overreaction or reality, you would not wear your Super Bowl ring as an active NFL player.
Overreaction.
Oh, you hate Jalen Hurts.
Hate Jalen Hurts, but I also don't love Jalen Hurts.
That's not what I heard.
Like, I needed to get there.
So Jalen Hurts talked about not wearing a Super Bowl ring. He goes, I've moved on. I've moved on to the new year. It's as simple as that. It feels like you very much disagree with this concept.
I get it.
Or I guess you just told us.
Get it, but he never tried it on. He never put it on his hand.
That was old.
No, that's fine. You can still put it on and let people see it on your hand. That doesn't mean that you have to stare at it and dream about it forever. You just put that sucker on and go out to dinner and show off. You can't show off the next Super Bowl ring because you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
But I get the idea of this focus of, hey, and maybe that's what it takes. I've never won a Super Bowl, so I don't know. But maybe that's what it takes, is that kind of mentality to just be like, next phase, next phase.
Alec, would you wear your Super Bowl ring as an active NFL player?
Or never put it on?
I don't know. I feel like I'm the kind of person that likes to enjoy my victories and I like to enjoy the nice things in life. So if I were to be lucky enough to get a monstrous ring like that, I feel like I'd wear it. Like, I wouldn't do it to an obnoxious level to where people are like, all right, dude, you weren't even the best player on that team. Chill out. You know, like I'd probably do it in moderation, but I would wear it. I would wear it in public. I'd wear it to like charity events and whatnot. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm wearing that.
Yeah, dude, people work their whole lives. It feels corny. It feels corny that he's saying that, doesn't it?
Not to me. I get the logic behind it. Whether or not I believe it, I don't know. But I get the logic behind it.
You think he sneaks into
this.
His closet and slips it on?
Yeah.
Every night?
I do, a little bit. And I think one time, because we've all done this, he put it on and said, yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. And he put it on his ring finger. All right. NFL overreaction or reality. You are invested in the offensive and defensive breakdown for Travis Hunter. So I have found myself more interested in this than I thought. Like the first handful of Jags practices, like where they were running actual snaps and stuff, 36 offensive snaps for Travis Hunter, 47 defensive snaps for Travis Hunter, and he played more offensive snaps on 7-on-7. But then when you got to 11-on-11, took a good little advantage for the defense, which I feel is kind of, you know, different people have different opinions. I think I'm invested in this.
I'm not as invested as you. I'm not going to track it at
sure.
all. So you went back and watched all of Jacksonville's practices, and that's how you tracked it? You
absolutely
said?
Not. Okay. I took the statistics for the people who tracked it. But it's been 60 years since we had...
Because J.J. Watt was telling us that he thought that the stats were... Okay.
This is a thing that I felt like mattered.
I'm not tracking it by any means, but I am interested in where this lands in the regular season, because I think he can do it. Everybody out there telling him he can't, and you just watch him do it in college... And I know people are like, oh, it's not college anymore. That's fine. Let's see if he can, though.
Right.
And if he can, then we have a whole new set of circumstances for things in the future that we get to have some fun with. I do wonder how much this comes into play with the NFLPA and then being like, we don't know how to handle that. Because should he be paid as both? Should he get paid for both jobs?
Right.
Like, that's a future thing down the road that they might have a conflict with.
Yeah. I still think about baseball, and it's so weird that Juan Soto got more money than Shohei, because I'm like, I thought the whole deal was it's because Shohei does multiple things on the baseball field, and they're like, nope, not, baseball contract.
Not as big of a deal as you think.
NFL overreaction or reality? John Gruden will coach in the NFL again one day.
Overreaction.
He said that his goal is to get one more shot.
I just feel like the people in the higher ups of the NFL.
Definitely.
In that building, that I don't think that they want him there. And I think that was proven a while back when he was gone from.
Yes.
And I don't think they're going to allow. I think they'll keep a blockade forever on him.
Alec?
I'm going to go ultra specific here to reality.
Ooh.
Not only a reality, I'm going to tell you where.
Oh!
He's going to coach the New York Jets one day.
Hmm.
Because that would be the most Jets thing ever.
Yeah. And so they could keep an eye on him there in New York. I see where you're going with this.
Exactly. Yeah. Like it feels like...
Right
it
under their thumb.
I'm not predicting like the downfall of Aaron Glenn before he's even coached a game for the Jets or anything. But like it could be 10 years from now, Glenn gets a better situation in another city. I don't know. That just feels perfect. Like, because they were interviewing Rex Ryan in the last cycle. Like, him and his veneers were made for TV.
Wow. Like,
if they're doing that, if they're going to that extent, they will call Gruden next time they have an opening and say, hey, we saw that your old team let you back into the Ring of Honor. You must be clear, right? Right? Maybe.
All right. Maybe. I got one more for you. Overreaction or reality? One international game per team per year is a good idea. So Arthur Blank spoke about this, and he said, I could definitely see that being on the horizon. And then Roger Goodell has said that their goal is to have 16 international games per year. Now, I know the Jags will probably play like 14 of those. But if they didn't, that works out perfectly for every single team to play an international game every single year. Overreaction or reality? That is a good idea.
Reality.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I did not think you were going to say that.
Play all the games everywhere. All the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you think that's going to go over with the teams?
They'll say, do it, lady.
Okay. But assuming they weren't going to say, do it, lady, do you really think they'll all be okay with it?
No.
Okay.
but I like it as a fan.
I could see that.
So.
And I'm sure for the international fans, they're like, hey, we've been waiting to see this person or this person or this person. I get that. Alec? Good idea or not good idea? And then why are Corey's eyes so wide?
We got an invitation to something awesome, but you're not going to be here.
Oh.
Stupid Germany.
Okay.
That's unfair. How am I going to be welcome there if they're like, hey, we listened to your show?
Wouldn't that be something? You get to the gate in Germany and they're like, hey, one, Tolo. Two, no. Just go back.
Hit the bricks, Fran. I'm back.
I'm gonna say reality, because the best way to grow the game is to get the product in front of more faces. Whether the logistics of it is annoying or not, that's a whole different conversation for the domestic fan and for the players and the teams themselves. But it's the best way, because, I mean, imagine the the kind of reception you would get. Let's just throw Germany in there, for example. You send the Kansas City Chiefs out there and Patrick Mahomes to play a football game. And heck, imagine it's a marquee matchup. It's against another really good AFC team, maybe a divisional game even. Right. Like, if they were to go that far, that does a lot for the league. So I think it will happen. I think it's a halfway decent idea.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Here comes the 0-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. That slider was in the dirt. And so Garcia makes the final out here in the opening game of this series as the Angels defeat the Rangers by the final of 6-4.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Thanks to D&M Leasing. It's time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is it today? And I want to let you know that Corey is here, but I would not anticipate him engaging with us right now because he's watching a music video.
Oh, okay. Must be a fire video.
Y'all ever heard of Jesse Murph?
Nope.
This video is shocking. And
it's a video called 1965.
Not quite sure what to think about this.
She's a singer, and a younger person told me about this video, and it is a shocking video.
Yeah, oh God. All right. Yeah, back to you guys. I gotta stop this video now.
Hey, you watch it for yourself and tell me if it's shocking. Send me notes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know you need to do notes about practice. So whenever you get free time to watch a video, send me notes about
today,
that as
I
well.
Think.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So they got plenty of time.
All right, Eric, we have the chance. Well, actually, I'm sorry. Eric, Dawson, and Broadus, we have the chance to talk to Zach quite a bit earlier. I'm curious if there's anybody for y'all that has stood out in the only a couple practices, but that you've been able to see so far.
I'll tell you what, I was wrong about Miles Sanders. And Miles Sanders, I didn't feel like that to me that they, when you get a guy that maybe it looked like to me didn't have any of the quickness or the explosiveness or any of the burst that maybe he played with earlier in his career. And, Carolina, probably not a great place for running backs to be. But this guy has proven me wrong in a lot of ways. And, I'd be interested to see if, in fact, he's the starter. They use Blue as the second, and then Williams becomes the third down back with his ability to pass, protect, and catch the football. That maybe Williams goes from 1 to 3, and then the other two fit in.
Can I ask you a quick question about Javonte Williams? Because I thought he did look good in the first week, but it's very...
Oh, he's good. He's playing well. He's just not as explosive as Blue and Sanders. And if they're going to run the ball with the type of attack in the middle and making one cut, then they're going to need somebody that's going to hit that hole, make the cut, be decisive, and go. I don't think Williams is that kind of guy right now.
Yeah. Eric, what about for you?
Yeah, bro. I think, one, Turpin was a huge focal point of the offense
yesterday.
Very
versatile.
Yeah, loved what I see from him, especially when it comes to the quick game stuff. Just easy pitch and catch that gains 5 to 12 yards seemingly every time he touches the ball. So I do love the idea of him being a huge beneficiary of the Lamb and pick and stuff. So that's pretty big. Defensively, though, I mean, Elam had a really nice day yesterday. I thought Malik Hooker had a really nice day yesterday. So those two guys in the back end. I mean, Hooker came in, and I think it was on Javonte Williams, and had a nice pop on him in the run game, and then had a nice pass breakup as well. So,
quick question about that then, Eric.
Yeah.
Not just for Elam, but just when y'all see players in general that are stacking up those good days, like how much more real does that feel? Because Elam has been mentioned numerous times already throughout camp about, like, stacking up the good days.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big one. Because you see guys flash from time to time, like, oh, so-and-so had a nice day today. You hadn't seen him the whole time, and then boom, he popped. Yeah, it's like, and then they kind of go back to non-existence. But Elam was always getting talked about throughout the mini camps and the OTA. So, like, now that that's carried over and it seems like he's putting together some consistency, I think that's one of the biggest factors.
He's had 2 interceptions in the last 6 practices, and he's had numerous pass breakups, too. So he's playing at a pretty good level. And it's not just against bum receivers. You know, he's covering Pickens. He's covering Lamb. You know, he's getting opportunities against the high-level guys.
Did Wolchuk say he's got Cooper Beebe? Because he's been impressive. He has been impressive. I think Cooper Beebe has added some strength, but he's more comfortable, and he's starting to look like the bully that he was in college instead of a guy trying to figure it out. But I'm going to go with Spanford and Mingo because these guys are snatching it. And I really had serious doubts about their catching ability. And they've each made multiple catches so far that I'm like, holy crap, they can do that.
And you can't emphasize enough how important that would be if you could have those two guys who I think are – they step on the field and they help you in the run game, right? Spanford, a guy who is known for his blocking. Even Mingo, as a wide receiver, you don't want to be synonymous. The first thing is
right,
being
blocking,
a blocker.
Yeah.
But that is something that adds huge value. But when you can be a tendency breaker, what's like, okay, Spanford and Mingo are on the field. Is that an obvious run? Well, hopefully not. If they can be threats in the pass game, now what that does for you just from a personnel standpoint and allowing those guys to where the defense is kind of on their heels. We don't know for sure that it's going to be a run with those guys on the field now. So if they can show that, especially in games, that they can be threats in the passing game, dude, that is where offenses dominated last year with having these heavier personnel packages. And it's like, yeah, you run well out of that. But then all of a sudden, now you're hitting the play-action passing game and being able to throw out of those heavier personnel groupings, dude, that is huge. So I would love for both of those guys to continue that.
Yeah, you could add also real quick, Kevin, you could add Solomon Thomas has had some really good practices. Peyton Turner's been pretty good, and you need to keep an eye on Perrion Winfrey.
Yes!
At defensive tackle as well.
I am so glad that you brought that up, because again, I know it's tough before they put the pads on, but that is somebody that we noticed as well. I'm really glad to hear you say that. I know you guys were all over the Guyton situation yesterday, and we're all glad.
Nice work, fellas.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're all glad he's not out for the year, but for a player like that so young, how important is it that he's going to miss all of this practice time?
Yeah, it's tough, but you know, there was a chance that he was going to miss the whole season.
True.
And you know, the fact that, you know, there are things that now that he could take away from his, and as he gets into this rehab part of things, is that he was not a liability out there. Last year he was a liability as a player. And, you know, there's been times where he's been really, really good. He's been really athletic. I think Duke has worked with him, and it's helped him a bunch. But he could take away with this that he didn't get hurt, and nobody's going to miss him. They're going to miss him, no question. And let's see if they play this thing just straight up left and right. That's what they've been doing in practice. But, you know, it might be a thing where Adeniji, who'd been the right tackle for Steele, now with Steele being back, that maybe they move Adeniji over to the left side. But it might be that they just straight play this thing, Awesome Richards and Thomas on that left side, and see how things go.
What do you find, fellas, got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, Heggie, thanks for asking. Sam Haggerty, Mr. Stolen Base himself.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to join us for the Rangers Player Show coming up at 3:20. So looking forward to that conversation. And we are anticipating Stephen Jones coming up at 4:20, 4:30. And I tell you what on that, Heggie, I know we're getting late here, but all off season, when we talk about the Cowboys front office, if there's like a stinging critique, I've taken note of that, right? The question of the segment, if Steven was here, what I would ask him right now. So I'm ready to unload those on him coming up here in a couple hours.
Man, I am excited, and I'll tell you for a fact, he'll go, oh, we don't really talk about contract details, and I know you're prepared. When he tries to zig like that, you're going to zag and throw him off. I'm excited.
I'll do my best, Peggy. Hell, a lot of expectations.
I'm definitely going to ask him about the brisket sandos as well.
Hell yes.
Keep that rolling.
Hard-hitting football questions.
I love it.
I have no thoughts about that. All right, roll home with the G-Vag Nation. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say brisket sando, Kevin.
Nope.
That's not what I just said.